The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And good morning, folks. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Michigan Insider Sports Talk Tip 50, WTKA. Online at WTKA.com, Sam Webb and Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. IRA, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. So I'm just curious. Yesterday you did a lot of branding education for Michigan State. Is today going to be geography and word usage, as in maybe Mel Tucker should know the first word in the school that employs him? I'm just curious. Are you going to discuss the word Michigan, and are you going to tell him that Lansing is not – above or below Ann Arbor, but East Lansing is above Ann Arbor? Because, you know, he said the school up there, he wouldn't refer to Michigan, even though he gets paid by Michigan State. Is today a grammar, verbiage, and geography lesson, or are we going to move on to other things?
I mean, I think it's certainly a good faith effort to embrace the rivalry. To also distract from the obvious, they just lost to a team who had lost 21 straight Big Ten games. I mean, what can you get up there and say to inspire any confidence? I mean, it's the most surreal thing. That entire show that we had yesterday, where there was, I won't say that there were shots, but there were some blunt assessments of Michigan State. Wouldn't you say, Ira? Do you know, for the first time in the history of my Twitter account, the first time in Michigan State game week where I've made a reference to Michigan State and not one, Ira, not one response from a Spartan, not one. It is amazing. I've never seen, how long have I been on Twitter? What year did I go on Twitter? Did I go on Twitter in 2010, 2011? I don't know. Maybe 10 years ago. Never happened before. In a Michigan State game week where we took some shot and some Spartan didn't say something. Not one Spartan, Ira. Not one. It's amazing. The level of concession here, they have zero faith, zero hope. It does not exist. If the miraculous were to happen on their side of things, and they were somehow something happened, the skies parted and the football god stepped down and walked them across the end zone, they could not step forward and say anything at that point, because no one is around in Michigan State land right now to show anything close to anything that resembles confidence. I mean, just I don't even know what else to say. They have given up. They've given up on this game. They've given up on this season. So I think maybe he's trying to rally the crowd. The worst thing you can have in this game, in any profession, I imagine, is apathy. And I sense mass apathy among Michigan. Maybe they just feel like if they ignore it, it won't hurt as much. If they ignore it, it didn't happen. That's this whole thing that's behind, the next three or more seasons, this rivalry won't count. I think that they have taken that to heart, Ira, because they have disappeared. Michigan State's fan base is the witness protection program. I have no idea where they are.
I mean, they're around. I've talked to a few Sparties, but you know what? They all concede. So, yeah, does it take away the fun? I mean, I don't know, because – I mean, even concession beforehand is kind of fun, but I hear what you're saying, and it's definitely been quieter than normal from Sparty land, that is for sure. I'm waiting for the pregame show on Saturday to see what kind of trolls we have coming up on our, you know, while we're online. Now, they came from Ohio and not from East Lansing. Usually the trolls will come from both, but I have a feeling the trolls from East Lansing are going to be quiet for probably at least until basketball season, and I mean, you know, January type time frame in basketball season.
It's going to be interesting to see if they say anything even that day. I thought we offered a pretty good list of suggestions yesterday for their, you know, the branding potential, even in defeat, even in defeat to Rutgers, you can still turn that frown upside down, Ira. You can still turn a negative into a positive. I didn't even hear no thank yous. Not even any no thank yous. I mean, it's just, I don't know what to say about Michigan State at this point, other than, like you said, Mel Tucker is, he's confused about being at Ohio. See, you are in a different environment right now. You know, Michigan State, while they had some success over the last decade or so, this is not a perennial power. This is not a team who the ground shakes around them when they come around, typically, just by virtue of the power of their program, the mystique of their program, like Ohio State, like Alabama. No one's scared of Michigan State, man. I mean, what do you think?
Sam, you've got to highlight, by the way, I don't want to correct you, but you have to, you know, you're really into name change pronunciation, you know, the changes of names and how people pronounce them, right? Leroy to Leroy or whatever. It's, you got to emphasize the L in Mel.
Yeah, he's going to add a lot of those. He's going to add a lot of those to his name this year, to next year, for the next 3 years, according to Michigan State fans. But he's gotten it twisted that this, what worked at Ohio State, or even what worked for Nick Saban, dude, it's, you don't even have what Nick Saban had coming in the door. I mean, Nick Saban is maybe the only coach I can think of that was able to win this game his first year. But he has some, you know, he has some pieces up there. Didn't he have Tony Banks that first year? I think he had Tony Banks that first year. So, I wish you good luck after this week. I really do. You know, hopefully they take to heart some of the advice that we offer, because after this week, I tell you what, I don't think Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, if they have a chance to hang 70 on Michigan State, I don't think they'll hesitate. Now, I say that understanding that 70 is like an extreme number. But 50 or 60 isn't, Ira. I mean, they should have had in the high 50s last week. And you heard from Mike St. Risto, and we'll hear that a little bit later on in the show, just what we said when we came on the air on Monday. I'm sure that the coaches said, yeah, good job, guys. You scored 49. We should have been in the 60s. Sam, Mikey said that's exactly what, that was the message. Yeah, we left a lot out there. So I expect, I mean, you think about it, you think about how many big plays there were. You know, I'm going through the film with Al Borges, Ira. They ran maybe 9 or 10 plays, maybe 9 or 10 different plays on the game. Do you realize how much offense is left? Do you realize how much offense they left on the sheet? Forget the playbook. Forget the play. The playbook and the play sheet for a game are different, right? They didn't even get, I'll guarantee you, Ira, they didn't even get through the play sheet. They might have gotten through half of that play sheet. You know how much offense is left? So, good luck. Good luck not being demoralized on Saturday. I know there are some people that are nervous and they're skittish about showing any kind of, okay, we can't talk before the game. My thought process on that is, if you don't talk before the game, don't say a word after the game, because you didn't have the courage of your convictions to say those things, to express that position. At least don't say anything that is boastful. If you want to come after the game and, you know, say, hey, it was a good job, and, you know, talk about the rousing victory, but the smack talk part of it, I don't know, man. It just strikes me as, if you can't be present before the game to talk about what you think is going to happen, how you think it's going to go down, and what your team is going to do to the other team, then on the other end, while it's fine to celebrate and to say, yeah, good job, you know, that whole going for the jugular when it comes to the smack talk, to me, I find that just a wee bit soft, more than a wee bit, which is why there couldn't be any Spartan fans that can say anything after this contest, because they are nowhere to be found before it. Yeah, it shows how much confidence and faith you really had in your squad before this game. They're saying nothing. And this is Michigan State, the Pride Before the Fall, and Where's the Thread, and Spartan Dogs. Man, that's where do you think I got the inspiration for Spartan Draws? It's derived from Spartan Dogs. I'm just, you know, trying to make it easy for them. Spartan Draws could be a real seller for them. You know, easy, you know, flows off the tongue. They've been used to saying Spartan Dogs for all these years. The point being, where are all those people? They're nowhere to be found. So, I want to switch gears, Ira, real quick.
Where are all the Spartans at?
I have no idea.
Isn't that what Mark D'Antoni would be
asking? No idea. Yeah. Real quick, Ira, outthinking the room. Now, I admit that I didn't watch much of the World Series at all. Matter of fact, only time I turned to it for any length of time was last night. But man, Ira, you got to help me out. You really got to help me out with the decision to pull Snell from the game last night. Now, you know, to set up the dynamic, to set up what happened in the game, you got to understand that the Rays had one other thing, and we're going to get back to Michigan. This is a very, 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 very brief aside, all right? But understand that the Tampa Bay Rays, they were up 1-0, all right? Now, your pitcher is rolling at this point. Blake Snell was dealing. 5 1/3 scoreless innings, Ira. And he had given up a hit to the number 9 hitter with 1 out in the 6th. And at that point, he was pulled. He was pulled, Ira. Kevin Cash pulled a guy from the game who, to that point, the top of the lineup, he didn't want him to see Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner. But Ira, you realize that while yes, there was a guy on base, it was still, they had a 1-0 lead, and those three hitters were a combined 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts. And he got pulled, Ira. He got pulled. Of course, that point, in relief, I can't remember who came in after him, but he gave up, Ira. Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson comes up, Ira, and gives up a hit, and they, gives up a double. They go up 2-1, and eventually the Dodgers win the game and the World Series. But I don't know about you, man. That just seemed like outthinking the room to me. I understand that, you know, managers have to go with feel. I don't know what the analytics may have said.
See, that's what it was, Sam. This wasn't feel. This was analytics. And this is where, you know, I remember many conversations we've had in Marches in the recent past with Ed and Coach Ramsey in the studio together, right? And we kind of talk about the analytics versus the look test and trying to bring those two together. And I understand there's a great value in analytics, and you can see without it, Tampa Bay is not in the World Series. Okay. Like it has worked. I get it. But the analytics also, from what I understand, is, you know, there's a point of where you think that you've reached the peak of your pitcher, but you also want to preserve him for the next game. There is no next game. This pitcher is not pitching again 4 months. You are 5 and change innings into the game 6 of the World Series that you have to win to get to a game 7. And your pitcher is pitching well. I agree. I think it's outthinking the room in a situation where, yeah, I understand in the regular season, if the analytics say this is the time to pull the pitcher, yes, pull the pitcher. I get it. You know, and if it costs you a game in the regular season, that's something you have to answer to, but it's a regular season game. You are in game 6 of the World Series where you have to win to force game 7, and you have arguably your best pitcher on the mound. Why are you taking him off the mound? I didn't get it at the time. I still don't get it. And again, I understand the value of analytics, and there's a great place for analytics in sports, whether it's in-game or in making free agent decisions and all kinds of other things. I get it. And we could have a long analytics conversation how important it is with Chris Fetter, one of the best pitching coaches in all the game, and we happen to have him here in Ann Arbor. But he may also tell you the same thing, which is when you're in that scenario, right, if Michigan returns to game 3 of the College World Series Championship Series, and their pitcher is not at some crazy pitch count, but he's at a number where they generally would pull him, well, you're probably not going to pull him if he's dealing, because, and we've actually seen Michigan kind of do that, right? A couple years ago. So I don't get it at all. It makes no sense. There's a point in time where you have to take the analytics and say, hold on, we're in game six of the World Series. Nothing after this matters, because if we don't get to game, if there's no game seven, plus if we do get to game seven, Snell's not pitching in anyway. So I don't get it at all.
But he said he didn't want him to go through the lineup. He, you know, for a third time, he's been through the lineup twice.
So you're telling me the guy that won the was it Cy Young a couple years ago can't face the same lineup three times in a game?
Well, I guess to me, if he had struggled, if he had, like, you know, those guys had any success against him in the first two times through, maybe that would make sense to me. But Ira, did you hear what I said? 0-for-6 and 6 strikeouts. He mowed them all down twice. So he said, "Hey, of course it didn't work." So it's receiving some.
Yeah, but Sam, this is what should have happened. He should have, when the analytics and everything and everything's, and you're looking at it, he should have just stuck with his guy and done a Lou Brown. Lou Brown in Major League put Ricky Vaughn out there against the guy that killed him all season, right? And he put him out there and he struck him out. And I know it's a movie, but still, every once in a while, you just have to say, I got a hunch he's due. And in this case, the pitcher had already been, like, he had been dealing. He didn't need to be due. He was pitching well against those guys. I didn't get it. And he's going to be second guessed for this a long time. And you can point to the analytics and he'll have cover, because that's a management, you know, it's a philosophy. So he's got cover within the organization. But
It's not giving it to Marshawn Lynch on the goal line. That's what it is to me. Yeah,
I think that's a good analogy. Yeah, this didn't make any sense.
This went for a long time. People are going to look at it and say, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Anyway, 6:25 on a Wednesday morning, a hump day. There's the Steve Clark Day, a lot to get to. See how they run today as well. Looking forward to that. And folks, man. I can't. Anyone else having that experience? It's like, you know, it's like the Michigan State fan base is gone into hiding. They are nowhere. Not a peep. You know, not even we're going to be back. Nothing. Nothing. Anyway, we got to get to a break. We come back on the other side. We'll start hearing from some Michigan players, some insightful comments from the guys. Thought Mikey Sainristal was particularly good. We got a lot to get to here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket.